right and say, I'm so glad you're here. Okay, good. And then you must look to the person in front of you and say, lady, you are fine. Okay, tell it again. Lady, you are fine this morning. Listen, us ladies like to be told we look fine, don't you think so? Great, amen. Okay, why Mamma Mia? Mamma Mia is based on something that happened with me last year, and I want to really encourage you. A lot of people think that as pastors we have this most saintly life, we are absolutely perfect. I want to tell you something, we're not. Far from that. And I want to share with you this morning something that I really needed to work through. And that was my Mamma Mia in my life, that I had to really get through, where God really needed to come to restore a place in my heart that I was aware but yet not aware of. And a lot of times in our lives, we are so unaware of certain things that we've sort of bottled up in a place that we don't want to uncap. We like that as women. We just almost like to just hoist stuff over, and we think, oh, you know, we'll just hoist under the carpet, put it over there, and it'll be just fine. But we know it's there. But we don't tend to deal with things that really we need to. And if you go to the next thing, okay, it's a bit of a thing. I took it off the internet. Yeah, you can see it's my work. It says God's mighty hand. And this morning, I want to tell you exactly that, that God is carrying you in his mighty hands. I really don't think that, I think we understand the depth, the width, the height of how great our God is. I was, Lorraine and I went for lunch yesterday because our power went off. And I wanted to impress her with our espresso, but I couldn't do it. So we decided we're going to go for a late lunch supper. And we were just sitting down, and we were just discussing a couple of things. And I was just saying to her, you know what, Lorraine, God is so great. He really does cover us. We have no understanding of who our great our God is. And do you know where we can find that? It is in the Word of God. He explains who he is from the beginning of Genesis right to Revelation. And a lot of people like to sort of move away from the Old Testament. And I'm telling you, that is where you find the character of God. You understand who he is where he showed himself in the natural. And in the New Testament, it shows himself in the Spirit. But it's the same thing. It's the same God. He never changes. So this morning, I want to tell you that God has you in his hand. In the palm of his hand. He has your name this morning inscribed in the palm of your hand. I'm telling you now, he will not let you go. If you could come and save a person like me, I promise you, I'm probably worse than most of you people have ever lived your lives. I'm being serious. It's no jokes. And I want to tell you something, there is hope, because this is what God did with me. He refined me in this time to have courage, to have hope, and to live with peace. And that's exactly what the Lord is going to do with you this morning. Marietta, I thank you for that, because you opened up a place where it's good that somebody's obedient to the Word of God, because it's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to, Corinne, like you said, he wants to come and restore hearts that are broken. God cannot use you if your heart is closed. He cannot. He will not. And of all things, I'm that kind of person. I was that kind of person. I closed myself up. Because of all the hurts, all the things, I tend to bottle myself up, put it on this pretty face, which I think I have a pretty face, and to just think, okay, well, everything's just fine. I'm telling you now, to this morning, God wants to use every single one of you, every single one of you. You might think that I'm not good enough, I'm pretty enough, I'm not intelligent enough, I'm not whatever enough. I'm telling you, God wants to use you this morning in a mighty way. And I want to show you that through this, last year, December, first of all, I'm going to tell you why my Mamma Mia. My mom is not saved. Okay, my whole family actually isn't saved. My dad got radically saved at the age of 79 and a half. And I thought at that time it was just like, oh, you know, when are these people actually going to like receive the Lord? I mean, hello, you know, you can see the fire, you can see the things, you can see it going. And God was saying, it's all good to have words, Jacinta, but actions speak louder than words. See, I can say something, but if I'm not living it, then it's a different story. I can have the passion, I can have the thing, and people can see that, but I really need to live it. They have to see that if this person really is who she says he is, I need to see it. And my family needed to see it. They saw the passion out of me. When I got saved, I got radically saved. I walked into my mother's house and I said to her, "This is an idol. That is an idol. You are serving a dead God." While I tell you something, manifestation galore. But I was on fire. But there was a season in my life that I had to be like that. When we all get saved, we have this fire. We just got to tell everybody, "I can do it, I can out there." And also that thing, because God is refining, he's busy building us, he's sort of showing us, Leicester, have a heart. You know, we do the love thing. We don't just do the come in with a baton and beat someone up. But in this process, when my dad got saved, my dad, like I said, got radically saved. We evangelized. I used to tell him about God, and one minute he didn't, one minute he did. And when he was busy dying, he gave his life to the Lord. We were just sitting together, and the Spirit of God came, and I realized, I cannot do this. I need to be a vessel that is ready in heart, mind, and spirit. I need to surrender. And I just gave him over to the Lord, but we prayed, and he gave his life to the Lord. He was an illiterate man. He was one out of seven children, and the oldest one always farmed, and everybody else got educated. So my dad never got educated. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. He was a hard worker. But I knew he had a relationship with God, because he really would, in his sort of idol worship way, he would still spend 2 hours with God every day, and he would pray. And I believe that God saw his heart. So if you're one of those people that don't really have a relationship with God, I'm telling you something, God knows your heart. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when you need him. Even though you don't say it, he knows what your heart is all about. And that's something we cannot hide from God. And in that, when my dad eventually passed away, I mean, I saw the Holy Spirit really doing a work in his life that I've never, ever seen something like that, where you speak the word of God and the Holy Spirit comes, and I just saw in the Spirit a veil just being broken, and my dad started weeping, and the Holy Spirit started coming and doing a restoration in his life. And he can only do that because his heart was ready. Because God saw he was broken. There was fear. There was anxiousness. There was so much happening in his life. He didn't know what now. And God could pour out his love upon him. And my dad started realizing who God was. And he said to me, "Jacinta, don't ever stop because you didn't stop with me. Do not give up on your mom. Do not give up on your mother." And my mother is very hard at this point of her life, because she doesn't know who Christ is. She knows who Jesus is. We all learned that in Sunday school. I was brought up in a Catholic home. I mean, I did Sunday school, believe it or not. Yet, I did do Sunday school in some way. And I did all the right things. But my mom really started really, a lot of things happened to her into life, which I didn't really realize. Because, you know, we always say to our kids, one day, when you grow up, you're going to find it all out, buddy. You're going to find out. You can say what you want. I can be the horrible person that I am. But you're going to find out what it's like to be a parent. And this is a time, Mamma Mia, I realized I was not a very nice child. And God, I started really closing up to my mom, because every time we would have home church, Lorraine used to come, and when my mom was there, the Spirit of God was so intense in that room. You just wanted to shout out and scream out, and my mother would be sitting there. And when I looked at her, I could see that the Holy Spirit was working with her. Something was happening. Something was moving within her, and she just refused to accept it. And it used to anger me. I'm like, for goodness sake, surely when you feel something, you just want to like, yeah, man, let's do this thing. And I'm like that. I'm like, okay, yeah, oh, really? And so I started sort of building up resentment. I really started building up resentment. And every time I'd speak to her about the Lord and talk to her about the goodness of God, she saw those things in our lives. I mean, if you know any of our history, I think the church hasn't even heard our testimony. Going through drugs, us being held up, our child almost dying. It was a whole lot of stuff that happened. And surely she saw all this time the goodness of God and what he had done in our lives. We are alive, for goodness sake, you know. And she couldn't see through that. And it really got to me. It really hurt me. And I started closing up. And then God, one morning, just decided, well, wake up. In my quiet time, I'm praying. And God just said, whoop, stop. And then he started revealing my heart to me about how I felt against my mom. And I wept that morning. I cried out to God. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm fraught. I'm such a bad person. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. But it took a process. God needed to refine me, because even when God uplifts that very thing out of you, you just want to put it down, because we don't want to deal with things. So it's just easier just to put it there. But you know what? It just mountains up. And that's what happened. It just started mounting in my life. And God just opened up my heart, and he showed me the wicked person that I actually really was. Pride set in. I thought, I know God. Listen, you need to get yourself sorted out. But God was saying, really? Do you really know me that well? Because you wouldn't be acting like that. You won't close yourself up to your mother. You would see her like I see her. And that's where 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And you know what we always think as Christians? Oh, we don't have to repent. We don't have to. Oh, God, these bloods cover us. Yes, he has. But we have an obligation to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I really am. I messed up. And you know what? God accepts that. He really does accept that. Because what happens is he looks at the heart, and we need to come to a place of surrender. We need to surrender. To take your heart and to place it down. Okay, we as women are very scared to do that because we are such emotional beings. We're so scared someone's going to trap on us, abuse us. Well, if I expose my heart, someone's just going to take advantage of me. We do it with our husbands because we have pasts, and we think every man is the same. They're going to do the same thing with us. And we close up our husbands. We close with friends. We close with people that we deal with. We close ourselves up because we just don't want to expose that hurt. And what happened is that God really then started showing me my weaknesses, and he brought them to the surface of my heart. And he says, I'm going to work through this through you. And was it painful? I'll tell you something, it was quite devastating for me. And Psalm 26 verse 2 says, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. And that's exactly what he started to do. He examined my heart and he examined my mind, because that's where the battlefield is in your mind. We're always trying to find some sort of answer to everything, but ultimately, God is a gentleman. He's always there. His hand is always there. We're the ones who just leave his hand and walk away and do our own thing. And God, he says, return to me. I'm your God, and I'll hold you, and I will never let you go. And in this, I want to tell you that I've got everything. Sorry, I'm just going to make sure. Okay. And then in Proverbs 25:4, just go to the next one, John. Thank you. You're doing a superb job. I know we threw you in the deep end. You're doing great. Thank you, John. You're a blessing. You really are. In Proverbs 25:4, it says, remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. And God wanted a vessel from me. You see, I have the Spirit of God living within me, but God says, I need to remove that dross. Dross is this, if you see how a refiner, like God says that he's the refiner, he puts you over the fire, and all this muck, all this stuff, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, whatever it is that is in your life, it starts surfing up. And God just comes and he says, but he doesn't just leave you. He says he holds you and he removes that dross out of you. He says, why? Because I want to make you a vessel worth having. You see, that God can't use you when you have certain things in your life that you haven't sorted out. And God wanted me to be a vessel that was going to be a light bearer to my mother. And I cannot stand before somebody knowingly and preach the gospel and tell them how much Jesus loves me if I'm sitting in front of somebody that just hasn't got, I don't feel like that for her. And God really had to remove that from me. And he says, I want you, Jacinta. Jacinta, you are a vessel. And I'm telling you, every single one of you, you are a vessel for God. And you know what? You need to allow God to come and burn that dross from your heart. You really need to allow him. And that's why we were saying we need to surrender our heart unto the Lord so that he can come, so that you can be a vessel where God will use you. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. Our perspective is not about ourselves. It's about the kingdom of God. And so in this, we went to Joburg. And I was saying, Lord, you need to make a way, yeah? And for the first time, I actually felt quite anxious. Can you believe it? And I said to Jay, oh, Lord, I know I need to do this, but when do I do it? And how do I do it? Because, of course, the pride comes up and you think, oh, man, where am I going? How am I going to do this thing, you know? And I just prayed. And every time I was with my mother and I kept looking at her, God started showing me his heart towards her and my compassion started just compelling me. It was just building. And every time I wanted to see her, I had to walk away because I'd cry because I just see how this person is in front of me and she's just fading away because she's dying of cancer. And I'm looking at her and I just see this person dying in front of me. And this is how God is saying. He says, but you see, this is exactly where my people are. They are busy dying. I look at them, they're dying. I'm saying, come alive. Just change your heart. It's not worth it. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, just inside me, I'm like, oh my word. This is my mom and she's dying. And In any case, so I stood in front of her and I thought, Lord, God, thank you that you are so good because out of my weakness, you make me strong enough to come and say to her, you know what, mom? I just want to tell you I love you, you know? But I just, and the opportunities was there because, you know, as Portuguese people, we're always in each other's faces. And my mom's lying on the bed and I thought, great opportunity. Here comes, you know, my niece and she's, oh, Auntie Jo, she's all over me and my mom. And I thought, okay. And I really believe that when I wait for those God moments, I really trust God in that. And anyway, it's always a 99.9%, the end of the rope, really testing me. And in this process, I just couldn't get to her. And I'm praying and I'm trusting the Lord and I'm looking at her. And she was just, she says, just come sit next to me. And we'd sit and talk and we'd just have this wonderful conversation. And I didn't say much, believe it or not. I just listened to her. And inside, I just saw how her heart was absolutely broken. You know, she's trying to act strong. But let me tell you something, someone's dying. You can be as strong as you want. But if you don't know the Lord, you're dying. Because you have no courage, you have no hope, and you surely don't have any peace. And God was showing that to me, that I needed to get courage, I needed to get hope, I needed to get peace, because I cannot bring a message to someone or to you if I don't have that in my own life. I really can't. And in that, I went the one Sunday morning. It was really chaotic. We had friends who are pastors up in CRC in London. They like, we have to see you. We're having a chat, and then I had to go have lunch with someone. It was just crazy. And I said to my mom, I'll see you on Monday. She said, no, I'm starting my chemo thing again on Mondays, early in the morning, right until the evening. I said to Jo, I just wish it wasn't the day before we were leaving, because I just really would spend the day with her, you know. Because she just said to me, Jacinta, you know, when you walk in there, everyone starts off, yes, you know, they're positive. She says, by the 10th time, she says, people are dead. There's absolutely, I'm dying. And she says, Jacinta, I can't handle that. Every time I go in there, people are dying. And she knows within herself that's where she's going towards. And so the one Sunday we go to my sister, my mom's there, and I'm saying, Lord, I've only got today. What am I going to do? Please make a way. And now we're sitting at the table, and my sister's got friends there, and we're talking. I'm looking at my mom, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sure they're thinking, what's this chick doing? And I'm praying, and I'm like looking at my mom, and I'm like, Lord, please, Holy Spirit, make a way. And all of a sudden, my mother stands up, and she walks to the kitchen, and I felt the Lord said, follow her. Ooh. So I walk behind her, and I'm like, okay. And I'm feeling anxious, and I'm like, Lord, why am I feeling like this? And it's not like it when we have to really expose our hearts and to be honest to the person in front of you and say whatever you had to say. So anyway, I followed her. I said, Mom, where are you going now? I think I'm going to my room now. Okay, I'll just follow you. So off I go into her room, and she's stagnating a bit, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and my uncle from Venezuela, of all people, phone her. Hello, I'm thinking, really? And all of a sudden it actually just died, and I'm like, I know it sounds terrible. And she normally would wait for him to phone back. She's, ugh, and she keeps on walking. I'm like, okay, let's go, let's go. So anyway, we get into the bedroom, and I look at my mom, and she says, listen, I want to go bath. I said, okay, come. I've gone into the shower, took her clothes off, and I washed her body. And I was just thinking, Lord, where do we get to? And I was just really being humbled, looking at this little body just fading away. And anyway, so I take her out of the shower, and we go back into the bedroom. Sorry, this is a very part. And we got into the room and I closed the door. I thought, okay, Lord, this is your time now. And it was just supernatural. It really was. I put my mom in the bed and I just said to her, oh, we need to chat. We need to have a heart-to-heart chat. And she like, what's wrong, my girl? And I just said, and I went on my knees, and I bowed down before her, and I just said to her, I want to say I'm sorry. And it took a lot. It really did. Because you don't, it's not because I don't want to. It's because you harden yourself so much towards people, the people that you really love. And even if they aren't people that you don't know, we tend to put up borders, you know. We keep on putting those walls of Jericho up, you know. And God keeps on breaking them down. We keep on putting them up again. And I looked at her, and I just said to her, Mom, I'm really sorry. I want to come before you as your daughter, and I want to say to you, I am sorry for being this rebellious child. I'm sorry for the things that I said to you. And she just looked at me, and she just burst out crying. And we both now, it's now snot and trana and bubbles and sucker fritters. And, you know, we go, woo, you know. And we're crying, and I'm really sitting there. And then the Lord says, okay, you're not finished yet. I said, okay. He says, now you're going to tell her what a wonderful mom she is. And I just looked at her, and because I never really had a good relationship with my mom, I couldn't really feel that she was a good mom, you know what I mean? And I looked at her, and I just said to her, Mom, I want to say thank you for being this amazing mother. I'm telling you, she was like, and she just, once again, burst out crying. And I said to her, you are. You're really an amazing mother. Thank you for all the sacrifice. Thank you for everything that you've done. You're such a beautiful woman, and I just want to really commend you for being a mom. And we just had this, I had to tell her, I had to now say I'm sorry, but then I had to lift her up. I needed to encourage and tell her, you are an awesome mom. And in this time, the Lord said to me when I was really going through this refining fire, that I needed to do a certain act. So I said to her, Mom, I really feel in my heart that God wants to touch your body. He wants to really show himself to you. So I need to be obedient. I want you to lie down on the bed. So I laid her little body on the bed, and I just said, I want you to close your eyes, and it's just, we're going to trust God, yeah. And she said, okay. So I lay my hands, and the Lord said, I must touch her from the top of her head, and I need to start praying for her. I go all the way to the bottom of my feet, and I just started speaking life over her, and I'm saying, Lord, you come. Come and touch her. Come and hold her. Reveal yourself to her. Come touch this body that is broken. That is, and she's going, and the tears are just going. And she, I could just see how she's like it the whole time. And I was like, and I was just going. You know, I was in there for an hour and a half. Not one person disturbed me, which is by the grace of God. In, like I said, in a Mediterranean home, those things don't happen. So, you know, there's always somebody. Yeah. So anyway, so I was just really praying for her. And we just, and she looked at me, and she just said to me, out of her own, she just, Jacinta, I don't know what to do anymore. A heart surrendered unto the Lord. And I just said to her, Mom, I just want to tell you this. I wasn't going to go say to her, you need to. I just said, Holy Spirit, you have showed yourself to my mother this morning. I want you to come, Lord, and I just want you to reveal yourself. And I said to Mom, and I started prophesying over her. I said to her, you will inherit the kingdom of God. You will see Jesus face to face one day. You will. One day your body will be healed. If that, you will heal your body now. In Jesus' name. And I just started prophesying, and I started speaking over her, and I started breaking things, and I just started going bolt in that room. Then it started shaking, because now it's going from emotional to warfare. And as my mom was lying there, I really felt the presence of the Lord was so much, it was so tangible in that room, it was electrifying. My body started shaking, my mom just started just sitting there, and we just had a God moment. And you know what, when I finished doing all this with my mom, I promise you, I felt the Lord was saying, now you have courage, now you have hope, and now you have peace. And this is exactly that I really feel that God is busy saying to us. The next one says, Job 23 verse 10 says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. And that's exactly what I feel that the Lord is saying. He's saying to us, go to the next one, come alive. That is the word that the Lord showed me. He's saying to you, come alive. Stop living with the things in your life. It's not necessary. Make right with those that you want to make right with. Forgive for those who have forgiven, because the Father will not forgive you unless you have forgiven those that trespass against you. Believe it or not, if you're just going to put up a wall, you know, we always expect, yeah, we can do all this. But imagine if God just turned around and said to them, sorry, not interested. Imagine if God did that to us. And we do it to people. I'm not interested in you, whatever. Ugh, you know what? You're just tiring me. Just stop. No, God doesn't give up on us. He really doesn't. But I want you to embrace the fires in your life. And I'm going to pray that in the name of Jesus, that you know what? That every single one of you today will have a fire. Not a lukewarm little fire sitting on the chair where you feel like a little bit cozy. That the Lord will light. I'm now prophesying over you that you will have a fire burning so deeply in your hearts that you cannot contain it. You're going to find it very odd when you stand before people that you're going to speak about the goodness of God. I pray that in Jesus' name that God will give you people in your heart to go speak to ask for forgiveness. For those people to say, you know what, I think you need to hear that I love you. Go to your husbands, go to your fathers, go to your mothers and say to them, you know what, Jesus loves you. Because they don't want to hear a big thing. All they want to know is, you know what, Jesus loves you. There are moms here. I'm telling you now, there are moms here breaking. What must I do? How do I fix it? How do I change my child? How do I get to a point where I can really live? I'm telling you, you can live. Surrender your life. You need to come to the feet of Jesus. You need to come to the throne room of grace, and you need to lie flat. You need to surrender your heart. And the only way you can surrender your heart is to open it and allow God to come in and break every bondage, every chain, everything that you have allowed to just hold back together. God has conquered your rebellion. He has victorious over your sins. And He has welcomed you this morning into His presence. And I want to just close up before we start praying for one another. I want to thank you, Louisa, that you actually, I was like, Lord Jesus, I know that you'll get me a King Protea because I know they're out of season. Louisa, I'm telling you now, yeah, it's Gwenangwer. And I just want to thank you for this because I want to show you a very amazing illustration of what this King Protea, it is my favorite flower. Believe it or not, it is. It is my favorite flower. Why do I say that? A couple of years ago, I came across an article, and it spoke about a protea, and I was just like, oh, wow. And I thought, you know what? I needed to share this with you. Not because they only just last long and it's cheaper, but because that we know that this is our national flower. But there's a significant special characteristic about this specific flower. Did you know that a protea, a king protea, cannot produce a protea without going through refining fire? The seed is closed up in a cone and it's hard. And we need to have our seasonal fires in the Cape. And it can only germinate once the fire comes over that cone and it breaks it open. That is what happens. And then only can the seed germinate to the very thing that you're looking at. Because then the seasonal rains come and God pours out the Spirit, just like you guys. Some of you are hardened up and God says, I'm going to put that fire over you, but I'm going to come and I'm going to burn it off you. Because I want you to understand that within this, there's a seed of life. And He's going to burn it up and He's going to continue and persist. And the longer you hold onto it, the longer it's going to hurt. And until you decide, I'm going to open this, I'm going to let the fire of God come over me, refine me, remove all those things from me, then I'm telling you something, when that thing opens and that seed is exposed, Jesus says that He's going to come and it's going to germinate because He's going to pour out His Spirit upon you. He's going to breathe life over you because you've allowed yourself to come before the feet of Jesus this morning. And I want to tell you, when I look at this, and this is what God showed me, this is you. This is you. Because if you see how beautiful and how amazing this thing is made, it can only be God who would ever put so much thought into something like this. If you touch the texture, if you see the different colors, if you really see the massive... go to the next one. I just want to see... Okay, we've said that. Go to the next one. Okay, we'll get to that. You'll see at the background there's a massive King Protea. It's a really huge... When it really opens up, when these... completely open up. I want you to see the characteristic, exactly what how it's made, and that is how God thinks about you. And this morning, we're sitting right next to each other, and I really believe that there's a whole lot of you that are hurting a little bit inside. and thinking, I'm one of those. I was one of those. And 10 to 1, God is still going to refine a lot of things in me. I have a lot of wrong. But this morning, I want to tell you, in Matthew 19, verse 26 says to you, but Jesus looked at them, at you, and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That's an encouraging word for you this morning. You might think, it's just impossible to make this relationship. It's impossible for me to really come out from where I am. But God is saying, I'm going to take a shovel, and I'm going to shovel you out of that ground, and I'm going to take those dry bones, and I'm going to make you alive. But it's a choice that you have to make. Am I going to come alive? Am I going to allow God to refine the fire in us so that we can become the very thing that God has intended us to be, vessels that are worthy to take the light into a dead world? And I really believe this morning that God wants to touch your hearts. And I know there are people, yeah, that are really hurting. And there are a lot of things that we cover ourselves up with, we just don't want people to know. And I want to ask you today, let's be real, so that we can become alive. And I'm going to ask those who are really, really battling with a lot of stuff. It doesn't matter what it is. It might be insignificant for you, but for God it's very significant. Because it's something that it's a stumbling block in your life and you need to go forward. God says we need to produce fruit. And that fruit can't be produced if we are producing within ourselves things that are harboring up and closing up. And I want you to remind yourself, and I promise you will not forget this. Every time you go through to a shop and you see a protea, working protea, you're going to remind yourself that had to go through a refining fire. So I need to go through those things so that I can grow in the Lord. God does not want you a stagnant water that smells. He wants you to have a fragrance of Christ. And the only way my mother opened up to me is because I decided, get rid of your own stuff and start living the life that God says we intend to be. Be who God says we need to be. Let's be true to ourselves. Let's be alive in God. Let's come alive in God. Let's get excited about the things of God. Let's be purposeful. Ask God for opportunities to sow into people's lives. Don't be afraid of people. They're just people. They can either like you or they don't like you. And I just say, ugh, whatever. You'll love me soon enough. Don't worry. So let's work at that. So I want you for those. Okay, Lindy. You... who really feels in their heart that they need prayer and they really feel that this morning that they are hurting, I want you to put your hands up. Don't be afraid because we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you and we're going to say, Lord, come and make a way this morning. So we trust God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this morning. Father, I want to thank you that you have set us apart this morning. You have made the way. You have come as the light in this morning, Father. You are the light. It's a place where a lot of darkness has been hidden, Lord, and we just say thank you, Father, that you've come and you just expose our hearts this morning, Father God. That, Father, that you showed us this morning that we are like this King Protea, ready to germinate, Father. But, Father, for we come before you, Lord, and we just say, Lord, have your way with the woman this morning, Father. Have a way in our lives so that we can really be the vessel that you have clearly chosen. We thank you for saving us, Lord. We thank you for those who are going to be saved. We thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit comes and teaches us and dwells within us, that we can just freely give to those, like Esther said, we just freely give that which you have given us, Lord. That we will humble ourselves before our God. And this morning we say, Lord, come and touch these broken hearts, my God. Come and hold the heart that is bounded in unforgiveness, Lord. Bounded in places, Father God, that they just really feel they cannot let go. Father, we pray for those who are ill, Father God, that really feel, I don't know where to go, how to go, where to go. But Lord, this morning I surrender it unto you this morning, Father. My children, God, my children, what must I do? I'm tired, I'm weary, and what else do I go, Father? And I just say, Lord, have your way amongst them, Lord. Come touch their hearts, Lord. Reveal to them who you are, how majesty you are. You are a favorable God. You are a God of mercy, of love, of joy. Those are your names. And we call upon you this morning. You say, come and heal our broken hearts this morning, Lord. Come make us alive, Father God, so that we can be vessels that will bear your light. In Jesus' name. For those ladies that put your hand up, put them up again for me, please. Put them high. Put them high. Don't be afraid. I want you to put them up high. Put your hand up. And I want you ladies, the ones that your hands are up, I want you to surround the ladies so that their hands are up. And you're going to pray for them. You're going to ask God, Lord, give me a word. Pray for them. Do it diligently. Don't worry about, oh, how am I going to pray? You pray. Let's do that. Thank you, Father.
Serebaya, soro, huro, hure, he say. Barabaya, he soro, huro. Sarabaya, he soro, baya. Seria, he, little baya, he say. Glorify, soro, baya. Glorify your name, O King. Surabaye, so huo huro huwa, arabaya hiye suro guro suro huwa, serabaye hiye suro kuro siye, arabaye hiye, surabaya hiye sehireo, he glorify your king. We glorify your King, higher glorify, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, mighty Savior, Lord of all. Yes, he has, soro so ma. Yes, he has, say he, Yahweh. Arawaya, Sarawaye, Kie, Suyo, Sarabaya, Hise, Yo, Soro, Yesi, Arabaya, Yeshua, Sarabaya, Seaturo, Kia, Serabaye, Sehie, Yo, Huro, Esire, Hie, Serahi, So. Sarabaya, he say, yes, oh,
that you will become the vessel that God.